Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
You're here on WBFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan in Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, an amazing manuscript full of a living Word of God, guidance, basic information before leaving Earth. You read it once, it's basic. You read it 100 times, you will get so much more every time you go through it. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the land of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." So, he was a Hebrew. Moses is a Hebrew. But these women identified him as an Egyptian because he was raised as an Egyptian, and he obviously wore the apparel of an Egyptian. And that's how, you know, from your beards or everything else, how you dressed back then, you could be immediately identified by where you lived and who you were and what you were. And I'm sure he probably had a shaven face when he left. And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it's kind of interesting that if you wanted a wife, you go and hang around the well. Everybody so far who's looking for a wife, they don't go to a bar or wherever. They go hang around the well. And the maids come and they water the flocks. And it's a good place to pick up girls.
Yeah.
Apparently. You know, we need to bring that back. We need to get a well in the center of every town. So that,
the young men can go meet the fathers and the fathers can meet the daughters.
Exactly. I guess they can walk their poodles by the well nowadays.
There you go.
And she bare him a son and called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3, Book of Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Take your shoes off if you want to come close to me, because the shoes were made with dead animals. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and I bring them up out of that land unto the good land, and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, if we remember back in Genesis, 400 years earlier, God says, I want to give you the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But they have not done quite enough evil yet. They're transgressing against me, but they have not quite pushed me to the limit where I'm just going to say, I'm done with you. All right, I'm working with them. And if you know, everybody says, oh, there's the first covenant and the New Testament covenant. No, there's many, many covenants in this Bible, and God had many covenants with many peoples. Don't be fooled that you're the only one going to heaven.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other people up there in other ways. And we'll get to that in the book of Revelation. Many covenants, God has plans for many people. There is a single plan to get you in the city of God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But God's kingdom is vast, and it has many, many covenants to get people there. So God said back in Genesis, I want to give you the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, but they're pushing me. They're pushing me hard, but they haven't quite done it yet. So I'm going to set you guys over here in Egypt. I'm going to let you grow into a mighty nation. And at the time, the transgression of these people has come to its fullness. Then I will give you their land. But as for now, there's still hope there under the covenants I have with them. And God is a righteous God. If he gives you instruction and you don't follow it, he'll thump you. If you continue to not follow it, he'll thump you harder. And if you absolutely turn your back on him, at that time, he will do the ultimate. And that's what he said. I need a little more time to work with them, see where they're going, and then it will happen. We're talking about 400 years here. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. I'm looking. I see what's going on. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses says, what?
Yeah.
Me? Wait a minute. He's looking behind him. You're talking to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why did I come over by this bush?
Yeah.
And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, God did. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God just says, I will be with thee. He could have said, you know what? I born you for a special purpose. I put special DNA in you. It was when you were born, people could tell there's something strange about you. You were the XL model.
Yep.
I brought you up in Pharaoh's house, so you know all about the Egyptians. I extradited you out of there because I needed you set aside to get your head right until this day. And now I'm telling you to go, and I will go with you. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Apparently he was dumb unto God. I mean, he's Hebrew, but he grew up in the palace. They didn't keep the fact that he was Hebrew from him, but his learnings and his understanding of God was limited at the time. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. The only I am. The true I am. That is me. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. One of the many names of God. This is one of the first time in this book he has said that I am that I am. The original I am. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land of flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. Ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. So originally, when we started Exodus, we seen that Pharaoh wanted them out, and he kind of come up with a plan. Let's put them under hard bondage. Maybe they'll just leave on their own. But he died. And there's another Pharaoh in there now. And, you know, these guys are property at this point. That means, you know, the more slaves you have, the more wealthy you are. So let's see what this Pharaoh has to say. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after he will let you go. God prophesies of his own doing there. Pharaoh's not going to let you go, and I'm going to whack him on the head. Mm-hmm. And after that, he'll let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass, and when you go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So God's saying, you're not going to leave as slaves, you're going to leave as royals. God, I'm going to put it in the hearts of the Egyptians to give you all of their precious things. And you're going to adorn your children with precious jewels and silver and gold. And we're going to walk out of here as royalty. Chapter 4, the book of Exodus, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding this magnificent manuscript God has given you for guidance, basic information before leaving Earth. Don't leave Earth without it. At least once. I tell you to read it 100 times through, if not 1,000, because you'll get something every time you go through it. You got to read it slow, methodically. You got to read it out loud. Let your ears hear it. Ponder words, because I've read passages in here hundreds of times, and then all of a sudden, the meaning of a single word will totally change the abstract meaning of what's going on there, or give it a second meaning of what's going on. And the whole spiritual, you may be reading it in a carnal sense, and all of a sudden you have a spiritual meaning popping out at you. That's the way God works. He says, it does my heart good that kings search out the hidden meanings in my book. Kings, you know, elevate yourself up to a king and search out the meanings of this book. Chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me. He has doubt in his heart. Mm-hmm. Poor little fellow. They will not hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Yeah, a shepherd's staff, you know. Watch the sheep occasionally for the girls. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. You know, it's always said, it's always misquoted, God helps those who help themselves. No, if you can help yourself, God, you don't need God. God helps the helpless. You know, God says, all right, I'm going to show you that I'm going to be with you. Cast your rod on the ground. And he does, and it becomes a snake, and Moses runs. What a helpless little man. God helps those who are helpless. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand. Get back here, you little sissy. Put forth thy hand and pick up that tail of that thing. And he put forth his hand, right, shaking the whole time.
And you know, all right, it's just a little keen little side note here.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to grab a snake, yeah, you never grab a tail. You grab the back of the head.
Well, unless you know how to handle them, then you can snatch them by the tail. But, you know, get over here. He says, he grabbed that thing by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. He says, whoa, that's the coolest thing ever. Can we do it again? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. You know, God stopped at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank God that he didn't go on all the way through the 12. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the reading? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi, Issachar,
every time. Yes.
Zebulun, it would have been a nightmare. So he stops with the three. Basically, because after those three, those three were the most stable, mm-hmm, in their total full understanding of God, their following of God. After that, the 12 children were not. So, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. I bet that was terrifying.
Oh man, yes.
Because that was the dreaded disease of the time. You had leprosy, you weren't allowed to be around anyone.
Yeah, and you had to yell out to people and stuff, yep, too.
And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. I bet all that night he was doing that again. Pulling it in, pulling it out, looking. And it shall come to pass, they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. God knows these people.
Mm-hmm.
He knows their hearts. He knows he has raised up the most stubborn and, in his words, stiff-necked, disobedient children than anyone could ever have. He's already preparing him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Go tell him that I sent you. But I know that ain't going to be enough. So I give you this rod, it turns into a snake. Show him that. Surely that would be enough. But I know it's not going to be enough. So then I can turn your hand leopard, and then you can pull it out and it'll be better. And that still probably won't do it. So I'm gonna. You can turn water into blood, and that'll be enough. I mean, these guys are And Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I am not eloquent. Neither hitherto nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So he doesn't want to do this. He's looking for every reason. You know, I'm not a good public speaker, God. You know, you could have picked anybody better than me. But when I get up there, I'm probably going to stammer. And, it's just really not good. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? I think God's probably getting a little irritated at this point. Mm-hmm. I made your mouth, buddy. I know exactly how it speaks. Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So, Moses just got a little supercharge in there. You're going to go, buddy. If I have to climb in your mouth and put the words in there myself, I'm going to do it. I just love how these Hebrews argue with God.
I'm saying, yeah.
It's, yeah.
You got the direct crystal clear link.
Yep.
The conversation back and forth, and it's like, are you sure about this?
All the way from Abraham himself, the original Jew. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have
my sister.
Yeah, I mean, that's the word for it. You know, a Jew's going to bicker with you.
Right.
And the original Jew, Abraham, bickered with God all the way down. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And now we got Moses doing it. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Please don't send me.
Somebody else.
Anyone. Just show that guy over there.
Uh-huh. Show him all these magic tricks. He'll do it.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, All right, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well. He's up there in the, you know, every Sabbath, yammering off. I know he speaks well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Like that wasn't said.
God, I mean, this is a precise, orchestrated work of art. Yes, we have free will, but God orchestrates everything that goes on in this world, good, bad, or indifferent. He's in the middle of an argument with Moses about going forth and getting the children out of Israel and getting Moses, please, I can't even speak very well. Okay. You know, you know what? Isn't Aaron your brother? Look at that. He just happens to be, he's never come this way, but he's coming this way today.
Right. And now I wonder about that. It's totally speculative, okay? But with Moses and stuff like that, if that was God's way of trying to kind of edge him into going ahead and doing it. Now, I'm not trying to say anything counter to this, but what I'm saying is like how brothers are with one another. It's like, I'll get your brother to do it. It's like, no, I'll do it. No, I got it.
No, he had to have a sidekick.
Right.
Had to. I mean, all the way down through even Antichrist, there has to be one standing next to him.
Right.
You know, and God and the Son, you know, and it all the way down. Moses has to have that priest next to him. And this thing of Moses not wanting to do it is all orchestrated also.
Right.
You know, and God knew from the beginning he would have to put that priest next to him, you know. You have the one, and you'd have the Holy One. I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. He shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. See there. He says he will speak for you, and you will be in my place for him. And we see that again in Revelation with Antichrist and the beast.
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration. Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. Interesting how they have to ask their father-in-laws to leave because they have their daughters. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Yeah, remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh and apparently all of his officers who knew about Moses' insurrection and murder are gone. So, can God take a man which hath grievously sinned and use him in great service? Obviously, Moses had murdered a man. You know, it goes all the way back. We haven't even got there yet. But, thou shalt not kill. That is a misinterpretation. The correct interpretation in the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not murder. Killing is an essential point in life, an essential necessity in life. God does a lot of it. God commands a lot of it to be done. But if you will kill an innocent person, that is the sin there lies in. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart. I will harden his heart. Oh, that seems mean. That seems mean for God to do that.
Right.
No. God has to show these stiff-necked people who's in control of everything. He says, I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. Israel talking about the people. The people, the Hebrews, they're my children, even my firstborn. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
The firstborn is the nation of Israel. But what did he tell Joseph's son? That he would become many nations, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth born. All sons of God through the firstborn Israel. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So, Pharaoh gets this information firsthand. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Let's look at that real close. Let's go back to 23. Exodus 4, verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. As many times as I've ever read this, I cannot get understanding from this. is anyone out there that can help me understand this one little spot. Because we have a capital L. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. God has just commanded Moses to go and do this thing. And then it said the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. And she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. It's the end of Exodus 4. You've been listening to Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, understanding this magnificent manuscript of God. We've just started Exodus today, Exodus 1 through 4. And had a great time. And you got to put yourself into this book. And you got to read it over and over as many times as you possibly can. Because every time you visit it, God will give you something. I promise you. Thank you all for being with us. We'll see you next time.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines. Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.